the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "Were your faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Which of you, with a servant ploughing or minding sheep, would say to him when he returned from the fields, 'Come and have your meal immediately'? Would he not be more likely to say, 'Get my supper laid, make yourself tidy, and wait on me while I eat and drink? You can eat and drink yourself afterwards.' Must he be grateful to the servant for doing what he was told? So with you, when you have done all you have been told to do, say, 'We are merely servants. We have done no more than our duty.'"
Jesus performs a miracle by multiplying the sheaves of corn on the farming property of his friend Joseph of Arimathea, which benefits many poor people. A little later, Jesus is speaking to Joseph's servants, who are unaware that Jesus was responsible for the miracle or that he is the promised Messiah. He says, "Increase your faith. Even if you are silent, then stones, plants, stars, ground, everything will proclaim that Christ is the true Redeemer and King. They will proclaim it in the hour of his accession to the throne, when he will be in the most holy purple with the garland of redemption. Blessed are those who will believe that as from now, who will believe even more then, and who will have faith in the Christ and consequently will have eternal life. Have you such unshakable faith in Christ?"
"Yes, Lord. Tell us where he is and we will beg him to increase our faith in order to be blessed, as you say."
Not only the poor, but also the servants, the apostles and Joseph take part in the last prayer. Jesus then says, "If you have as much faith as the size of a mustard seed, and if you keep the precious pearl of your faith in your hearts without allowing any human or superhuman or wicked thing to take it away from you, each of you will be able to say to that mighty mulberry tree which shades Joseph's well, 'Uproot yourself and be transplanted in the waves of the sea.'" The sick and unfit men ask, "But where is Christ? We are expecting to be cured by him. His disciples did not cure us, but they said he can do it. We would like to be cured to be able to work." "And do you think that Christ can do it?" asks Jesus, making signs to Joseph not to say that he is the Christ.
"We do believe it. He is the Son of God. He can do everything."
"Yes, he can do everything, and he wants everything," shouts Jesus, stretching out his right arm imperiously and then lowering it as if to swear. And he concludes with the powerful cry, "And let that be done to the glory of God." He is about to turn towards the house, but those who have been cured, about 20 people, shout, rush, and surround him in a confusion of hands stretched out to touch, bless, and find his hands, his garments, to kiss and caress him. They isolate him from Joseph, from everybody. And Jesus smiles, caresses, blesses. He slowly frees himself, and still followed by the people, he disappears into the house while hosannas rise in the sky. At another time, Judas Iscariot complains that he has been treated more severely than John, whom he sees as Jesus' favourite.
Jesus calls all the apostles together and says, "Listen, I solemnly tell you that no one must boast of doing his duty, and no one must exact special favours for that which is an obligation. Judas has reminded me that you have given me everything, and he told me that it is my duty to satisfy you for what you do. But listen, among you there are some fishermen, some landowners, some own a workshop, and the zealot had a servant. Now then, when the boat assistants, or the men who helped you like servants in the olive grove, in the vineyard or in the fields, or apprentices in the workshop, or even the faithful servant who looked after the house and meals, when they finished their work, did you begin to serve them? Is the situation not so in every house and in every task? Which man, with a servant ploughing or minding sheep, or a workman in the workshop, would say to him when he finishes his work, 'Go and have your meal immediately'? No one. But whether he comes back from the fields, or he lays down his working tools, every master says, 'Get my supper laid, get yourself tidy and with clean clothes, wait on me while I eat and drink. You will eat and drink afterwards.' Neither can one say that this is insensibility, because a servant must serve his master, and the master is not obliged to him, just because the servant has done what the master had ordered him to do so in the morning. Because while it is true that the master must be kind to his servant, so it is the duty of the servant not to be lazy or a squanderer. He must cooperate for the welfare of the master who feeds and clothes him. Would you tolerate your boat assistants, your peasants, workmen, your house servant saying to you, 'Serve me because I have worked'? I don't think so. So, consider what you have done and what you do for me. And in future, bear in mind what you will do to continue my work and to continue to serve your master. You will see that you have always done much less than was fair to do, to be on a par with what you received from God. So you must always say, 'We are unprofitable servants because we have only done our duty.' If you reason like this, you will see that you will no longer feel pretensions and bad temper arising in you, and you will act according to justice." Jesus is then silent. They are all pensive. Peter nudges John, who is pondering, staring with his blue eyes at the waters, which from indigo have become silver blue in the moonlight. And Peter says to him, "Ask him, when is it that one does more than one's duty? I would like to be able to do more than my duty." "I too, Simon, I was thinking of that," replies John with his beautiful smile. And in a loud voice he asks, "Master, tell me, will the man who serves you never be able to do more than his duty, to tell you that he loves you completely?" Jesus replies, "Child, God has given you so much that in all fairness, all your heroism would always be too little. But the Lord is so good, and he does not measure with his infinite measure what you give him. He measures it with the limited measure of human capability. And when he sees that you have given without selfishness, with a full measure, overflowing generously, he then says, 'This servant of mine has given me more than was his duty. I will therefore give him the superabundance of my rewards.'" Then Peter exclaims, "Oh, how happy I am! I will give you an overflowing measure to have that superabundance." And Jesus says, "Yes, you will give that to me. You will all give that to me. All those who are lovers of the truth, of the light, will give it to me, and they will be supernaturally happy with me. Azaria, Maria's guardian angel, has special words to say to the voices of Jesus. Here is the word of Peter. Let each one, according to the gift received, place it at the servants of all the others as good dispensers of the multiform grace of God. You, voices, have had the gift of receiving the most holy words to pass them on to your brothers. Now then, do so with joy, with humility, with diligence, and with generosity. You that are directors of the voices have received the gift of guiding these. Do so with joy, diligence, charity, patience, and heroism. Do not remain seated, saying, "The Lord will act." You have been told not to tempt the Lord and not to be useless servants. If you remained inactive, waiting for the Lord to act, you would tempt God and be useless servants, no longer with any flavour to your salt, and no longer good at preserving what God has entrusted to you, which should always be protected. God speaks to the spirit of the voices, but the voices are not only spirit, they are also flesh and intellect. Watch and keep vigil, so that flesh and spirit will not be seduced by the enemy who watches them, to tempt them and to defeat them.